From the outside, other people's lives can look perfect, but have something to hide. Don't miss your true life's calling to be a detective. In this real-life investigation on assassins, imposters, families who kill their own, and survivors, where we'll also discuss how violent crime causes a ripple effect of trauma and help the victims and their families find new ways to cope with stress left behind. This episode includes descriptions of emotional abuse, child sexual abuse, sexual and physical violence, sibling abuse, and murder. Larry's the son of a famous forensic psychiatrist who led a double life, notable for his roles on the John Gotti and O.J. Simpson defense teams, doctor to a royal princess. Welcome to this episode. Now let's get into it. Here's Larry.
Question now, when did you start suspecting that Lisa was trying to attempt your life? Okay, listen, when the first time, it was right after I passed in my repatriation loan application. After we left her house, that was listed on the address was listed on the application. We went to another place. And this was actually very, very soon after the application. I had run out of money. And I remember calling my brother Michael. And let me explain what happened. Her phone got a message from a guy that was sending her money. This just adds a little information for during this first event that I'm going to talk about. Can't recollect the guy's name right now. It was Lars. And he was sending her family $200 a month. And I called him because I looked at the phone. I called him right back and I said, "Hey, look, I'm her boyfriend. It's not going to benefit me for you to be sending her money when I'm taking care of her. I didn't think it would help the relationship." Anyways, I can tell you that information because later on that evening, or the next evening during this event I'm going to talk to you about, that was one of the things Lacelle said to me while explaining her mother's behavior. Some of the information of these events I've been holding back. I haven't put in my books for a reason, because it exposes some of the people involved, and also that might give me a step up on the killers per se. Okay, the killers, not per se. So she got a phone call, and she turns to me and says, "Hey, do you want to go to a birthday party?" And I didn't say yes so quickly. Actually, we had gotten to not an argument, but a sort of an intense conversation for a few moments. I was like, about her being a bad girl and whether or not I should even be with her. And she turns to me, either just before or after the phone call. And, if you think I'm bad, she said, why are you going to stay with me? And that's an important question this whole time that I spent in the Philippines with her, which I answered as I felt safer being with her because I was left alone in a situation where I had people coming after me, I looked at it as a benefit. And also, as strange as it sounds, to use knowing that she was involved, even in not keep my mouth quiet so I could see what's going on better, it gave me an advantage also. To know what was going on and let the other people think I didn't know what was going on. It saved my life a few times. So she got a phone call about her birthday. She turns to me and says, "Hey, do you want to go to the birthday party?" I was like, "Yeah." Okay. And I'll try to tell you in detail. So on the way to the birthday party, she says, "Hey, you know, the girlfriend of hers that's having the birthday party has a boyfriend coming in from the province. Me and Laisel went to go meet him." Now, that particular night was a flood. It was a huge rain. We were up to our knees in floodwaters, the whole city. This was in Cebu. This guy had a motorcycle. We finally got to him. He had a motorcycle. We helped push the motorcycle, get it to her house where they're having her birthday party, her friend's birthday party. So I get to the birthday. In this story, this event, it's going to take me like 10 minutes to explain. Because I followed up on it later. I did actually report it later. I waited. So we get to her house. As soon as we walk into the room where her girlfriend was having her supposed to have her birthday party, it was actually in Laisel's mother's house, and I had actually at one point paid for that room for her as a gift to her when I first met her, and I took a trip to the Davao for her to have a place to stay and not worry about rent. I had no idea about her involvement with criminal enterprise at that time, or her mother's. Because I came from the Davao to Cebu, I applied for the repatriation loan. As soon as we enter the bedroom, Laisel said to her friend, "Did you get the cellophane?" I looked to my left. There was a bag, you know, those rice bags that are half a meter high, I don't know, top of the feet, 3 feet high, you know, a big rice bag filled with cellophane. And there's even some more stuffed up in the closet of the top shelf of a clothing closet. The whole room was the size of the room I'm in now, pretty much 5 by 10 by 10. Look, there were two mattresses on the floor on top of each other, right there, like a sandwich. Somebody had wrapped the entire lower mattress entirely with cellophane. And they directed to have me get on. I would be the one sitting on the mattress. And they would. They so proceeded to put her legs so that they covered my legs like a cross position, keeping me down. It was awkward for me because it felt weighty. It's like, you know, you need your legs, but she kind of wanted to keep them on my legs. This guy who was in the province started looking for something in the pots and pans, which are on a higher, like 5 feet above the ground, like kind of where that, see that light up there, and below is like a shelf. And I said, "Okay, what are you looking for?" I mean, this guy, you know, you get these guys from the province, this guy was like not too intelligent. So, apparently somebody had put something in one of the pots for him to find, to go get. That's what he said. He was looking for something. At one time, I mean, I asked him to sound like he said he's looking for the gun. I tried to refrain from saying what I thought he said, but I definitely am not the kind of guy who imagines these kinds of things, okay? But it was kind of, you know, he was talking softly, but that's what it sounded like. How did that situation end? Yeah, well, he looked through one pod, then another pod, and I got up and I left. I walked down the stairs, and her mother comes at me with a knife. And those big kitchen knives like this. And I stayed there at the front door, right outside the house of the front door. It was nighttime, and I noticed across the street. This actually touches on, I'm looking at your second question. You asked me about the fake doctor. Did you ever see it again or just in that one attempt? I saw, looking back, of course, because the first time I saw him was across the street. And somebody, like a neighbor, was actually across the street, not the neighbor of her, but a neighbor, and someone in the neighborhood across the street was asking, and he responded that he was a policeman. That was clear. He was dressed normally. So that's the first time I thought I had seen him. I waited outside for her, for Lisa, and I yelled out her name to come with me. And eventually, a few hours later, she came out and we left. I took her. She was, there was nobody at the birthday party. I was the only one invited, except for this guy from the province. Yeah, they still came out. Her face was like red, like she had gotten fucked or something. All red, black flesh. I'm not too sure how much longer, because I had come from Davao, and when I invited Laisil to come meet me in Davao was when my coffee shop had to be closed. My furniture that I had an agreement to have rented, someone stole the rental agreement, stole the furniture from the restaurant. That guy Jerry came up, and a couple other security people. When did you start suspecting Laisil was trying to tempt him to lie? Okay, so that's the first time. Number one. So about the fake doctor, did you ever see it again or just in that one attempt? After that, it was the soccer hospital. So me and Laisel, we went to the hotel called Ascario Hotel. This had to be after we came back from when I buried my child, my baby. So there were four race cars in the parking lot around the corner from the hotel, you know, big parking lot. And for each of those four race cars, apparently there were an individual immigration police officer. They were part of some team. I went to go look at their cars. They showed me their police IDs. They kind of were proud of it. One of them explained they were the version of the American ICE. I have a letter I posted in my book that, you know, to the immigration Manila. I mean, I was late at one time or so. I mean, I didn't think it was a serious issue to be late. So I seriously doubt they were there for my late visa. Although, yeah, that's just like one thing on the checklist. Their boss, the captain or whoever oversees them, if it was a captain, didn't really introduce himself verbally, but he was standing there, big fat peppo guy with two earrings, was their leader. And then I went back to my room. I ordered some food, and when the food was coming, this was right after the food was delivered. There was somebody asking a hotel staff outside my door in an English voice, like an American voice. I can't say it was an American voice, but just in an English words, is this his room? And then after I ate, I noticed that there was I felt sick. Okay. And I called an ambulance. And the ambulance came, talked to me. I said, look, this isn't normal with your, and you, could you please take me to the hospital? And they got a call to wait and not take me yet. And it had been 30 minutes actually waiting. I was like, come on, I just, whatever it is, it's just like, it's not normal, and I should go. And they says that they have to wait for their orders to go, which I've never taken an ambulance before, so that's my first time. So I took a taxi, I left them there, and I went to the hospital. And so I go to, I didn't want to show them ID or anything or this and that. I just wanted to go in there and figure out what was going on. I got onto the hospital bed in the emergency room. And the second time that guy, he's standing in a lab coat against the wall. It's funny, in some of these situations, like when my passport was stolen, the guy was standing against the wall. He gave me a pill. He took out a pill from his pocket and gave it to me. And it's hard to say this without sounding like it's an imagination, but I'll just tell you the honest truth. It felt like, whatever it was, I mean, I know what an aspirin is, so whatever it was, how do I explain it? Like a heavy, deep weight, like I was being pulled down under, and it was intense. That's all I can describe it as, an intense being pulled, all like a force pulling me down. And I asked him, please take my vitals. Take my blood pressure, take my, you know, you got your blood pressure machine, your stethoscope, and he didn't want to. And that scared me. He didn't want to. He seemed, didn't even know what the hell he was doing there. That was my impression. And so, that he didn't know how. I wanted to throw up what he gave to me. And so, I got up. Got water from the sink out in a sort of desperately, and then I left the room. I went outside and I went, there was like a, and it was night, so I was, you know, I went to where there was like a wall, and I started throwing up. And then the guard started coming out, and so I said to him, hey, I'm gonna get some water. And by coincidence, the whole reason in the beginning, when I first went to the Philippines, the girl I met online to date, her house was at the gate of that hospital. And I said, hey, I'm going to go to that house, get some water. And actually, I did see that woman's mother, the girlfriend, you know, the girl I tried to date, her mother, outside the house. And I said, hi, while I was basically getting out of there. Now, this is an important part because I talked about, and it gets complicated, I might as well go on a little more with this event, with that fake doctor. This must have been after, gosh, it's a timeline, but let me just get on with it. I have to fix the timeline a little bit. When I sat in the darkness after walking away from the hospital, two things happened. Someone in the hospital called the police. And the police car was coming, which was only a few blocks away. And also, there was this guy stopped at the set of lights and appeared to me to be American. And The window was down. It was quiet. It was night. And he said exactly to whoever he's talking to, do me a favor and call the Lapu-Lapu police station. Previously, when I called the State Department about an SUV, the State Department told me to go to the same Lapu-Lapu police station that they had a contact there. And what I'm trying to say to you is that I believe that I was set up that night. And that apparently you get the American, whoever is working, to pulling strings. Okay, going back to the fake doctor. So that was the second time. And then the third time, gosh, I'd have to go more in detail. And I mean, these are such long things, but would be the Baguio Hospital, which was when I was went to a checkup. And at the Baguio Hospital. So I'll leave it at that. So there were three times. There might have been a fourth time because I couldn't. I believe I saw him a fourth time, but it was a very short instance where there was a by my house where he lived. He kind of put his head around the wall and then came back. And that was when the bottle of water in our house had been tampered with, and the water company came back and agreed that obviously it was like we all smelled it, and it smelled like really strong gasoline, and they took it back. But sounds bizarre, I know, but just it is what it is. Okay, now the article about the article was written, and it says so in the book, so you have to read everything, that at least the most recent book, Ira Leibowitz. The name of the article is Mental Health Scandals Signal Harvard Role in Mind Control Experiments by Ira, and that's the name of the article, by Ira Leibowitz. Listen, as a kid, my mom always told me my dad works for the government. Half my father's friends in his circle that I knew personally coming to our house on a regular basis all my life were all connected to either Harvard or some DC, and his connections to the FBI, CIA, or just the government in general. It just gives you background on what he did. That was his job. He ran the place. So I think background information is important. That's the importance it holds. I mean, otherwise, if it's hard to explain to the general public how my father operated, the tools he had to use, if and connections he had, and the effect it had on his mind. And it was very scary. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you felt your crime detective calling and could appreciate our provocative subject matter. Please take a moment and subscribe, comment, or like us on your YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, or your favorite social media. We hope you listen to our next episode. And remember, life is not always perfect, especially for the victims.